This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Night number 14 Subhanallah Basically almost 2 weeks left for Ramadan Subhanallah Where has this month gone And as we always say Just ask yourself If this was the last Ramadan that I'm ever going to get The last opportunity And we hear the discussion about what happens in the qabr and what will happen in qiyamah, jannah and jahannam. Are we ready, inshallah? Have we done enough to secure our place in jannah and to get ourselves free from sin? Allah accept from us. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Tonight we'll conclude with the barzakh and a very difficult topic. We'll discuss the adab of the qabr. So we said that there is the fitna of the qabr, which is the questioning of the qabr. And for those who fail at the questioning of the qabr, then of course the qabr becomes very, very difficult. And even for the believer who passes it, but he has certain sins, then he will account for those sins in the qabr. And as we said, for the disbeliever, the qabr is the first stage of punishment. The Nabi says, the grave is the first stage of qiyamah. And whoever passes through the qabr, the barzakh, safely, whatever comes after that, meaning qiyamah and all the, we'll talk about qiyamah in detail inshallah, that will be easy for him. But if he does not pass through the qabr or the barzakh safely, whatever comes after it will be even more difficult. And he says, Nabi Sallam, that the Nabi Sallam has not really seen the depths of Jahannam. But he says, of the things that I have seen that is the most terrifying that I've ever seen in my life, were the events in the Qabr, the punishment in the Barzah. So one can only imagine the events of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. So let us talk about some of the adab of the Qabr. The first question is, some might say, why is there punishment in the Qabr? Qiyamah is judgment. The court case, and then you are found guilty or not guilty, and then the punishment needs to come. Well, just before we even get there, intuitively, we know people are punished in the dunya. People were destroyed in the dunya, Fir'aun was punished in the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His justice and His majesty, He applies a punishment when He wills. For the disbeliever, the punishment is a beginning of more severe punishment. For the believer, the hardship of the dunya, we don't say it's a punishment, it might be on account of their sin. But it is, as Allah says, we give them the small punishment to avert the big punishment. So Allah, maybe He might make our lives difficult on the dunya, deprive us of some blessing, so that we are freed of certain sin. And some believers in the qabr, their punishment will be an expiation for them on the day of Qiyamah. As you know, sometimes someone is arrested and they said, you will get time served. Your punishment is reduced for the time you've already spent. But in the Quran, there is explicit evidence of the punishment of the qabr. This ayah is very clear. Allah says about Fir'aun and his people, "An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyan," that they are exposed to the fire in the morning and the evening. The morning and the evening, the fire is increased. "Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'ah," on the day of Qiyamah, when the event occurs, "Udkhulu ala fir'auna ashadd al-'adhab," on the day of Qiyamah, they will then enter the most severe punishment. So this fire that they are experiencing in the morning and in the afternoon, in the evening, is not the adab of Jahannam. This is in the qabr. So there's a very clear, explicit ayah that there are people being punished in the qabr. And we know the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the hadith that when Munkar al-Nakir comes and the person is unable to answer his questions, they will strike him or her with a hammer. That is so severe that the scream that will emanate from this, it would be the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you heard it, you would go insane and you would not bury your dead anymore if you heard the screaming of the people that is being hit by Munkar and Nakir. Then in a very, very long and disturbing hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrates that his habit, after Fajr, they would perform Fajr Salah, and they would stay for Ishraq. A side note, you all know the reward of staying for Ishraq, right? The reward for staying to make Fajr Salah in the masjid, for the ladies at home, it's fine. And you stay in the masjid, you stay on your musalla, from Fajr until the sun rises, until Ishraq, which is like 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then you get up Ishraq time and make 2 raka'ahs, Salatul Duha or Salatul Ishraq. What's the reward? The reward is Hajj. You get a Hajj complete. That's outside of Ramadan. Imagine in Ramadan. So we should make an effort that perhaps one of these days, this long weekend coming up, we take one day, and we one morning, we go to the masjid, we stay there until sunrise, and get a hajj, subhanallah, in Ramadan. Anyway, the Nabi Sallam after Fajr, and they would sit for Ishraq, and they would talk, so no problem to talk during that time, and he would ask the Sahaba, did any of you have a dream? And the Sahaba would mention our dreams, and he would interpret it for him. But then this morning, the Nabi says, I had a very, very disturbing event last night. A terrifying event. And he said, I was sleeping when two people woke me up. This is in my dream, it wasn't real. It didn't happen to his body, it happened to his ruh. And they woke me up and they took me on a journey. And then I came upon, upon two people. One was lying down and the other was bashing, crushing the head of the person lying down. And every time he would crush his head, the rock would roll. And the one who was doing the bashing would go and fetch the rock. By the time he returned, the person who was being punished, his head was returned to normal, and then he was crushed again. And this continued. And the Nabi said, what is going on here? He's like, disturbed. And they said, come, continue. Then they came upon a man who was putting a hook in the mouth of another person and tearing the side of his face, completely tearing it off. And then the hook came to the right, the left side and did the same. And to the right, every time they would alternate, the face would be returned to its place, and this would continue. Nabi Sallam again says, what is happening here? He's disturbed. And the two men said, continue. Then he came to a pit, and he heard screams inside. And when he looked inside, he found naked men and women, and fire would shoot up from underneath and burn them, and they would scream. And once again, they would continue. And then he found a lake of blood, and a man drowning in that lake. And as he would come to the shore, another person on the bank would throw stones at him, and he would be forced to swallow these stones, and he would continue to stay in the lake of blood. And then it was said, continue. And the hadith also mentioned that Nabi Sallam came upon a beautiful tall man in a garden, surrounded by thousands and thousands of children. And he said, what is this? And he said, come, continue. And then he saw the most beautiful palace imaginable. Most beautiful, beautiful palace imaginable. And he said, whose place is this? And they said, continue. And then the Nabi says, you have shown me many things this evening. What? Explain these things to me. And so the two men said, this is Jibreel and Mikael, and we will tell you what you saw. As for the man whose head was being crushed, this, subhanAllah, Allah protect, this was a person who had memorized either Hafidh al-Quran or knew some of the Quran. And he did not act on the Quran, did not recite the Quran, and in fact it says, he stayed up late at night and he missed Fajr. SubhanAllah. How many of us watch Netflix and then we just, you know, sleep through Fajr? SubhanAllah. Small sin, we might think, but this is what's happening. As for the man whose face is being torn, this is someone who spread lies, mischief, cause animosity, cause, send messages, whatever it is, causing people to fight one another. And the ugliness of his deeds, the ugliness that he's caused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disfigure his face like that. Those who were naked in the fire, may Allah protect us, these were people who committed zina. And the man who was drowning in blood and being forced to eat these rocks and these burning coals, the person who took riba. And then the man that was surrounded, this tall old grandfather surrounded by all the children, this is Nabi Ibrahim. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we know, that any child that dies before they are mukallaf, and they will be in, and we'll talk about this, in Qiyamah, in Jannah, they will be adults. But before that, they will remain children. And so, Nabi Ibrahim runs like a kindergarten for all the children that have passed away before they are mukallaf. And subhanAllah, he begged his whole life for a child. And in the end, Allah had given him. And so, as his reward, he stays, he spends his, so his barzakh, he's not in Jannah, but his barzakh is he runs a kindergarten, subhanAllah, Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And then, as for the palace where the Nabi saw, the most amazing palace, and the angels, Jibreel said, this is the most exclusive property of Jannah. Like, when you go on to Property 24, and you filter so by 500 million, and then you look at those houses and say, oh, the kitchen is not so nice, so those properties, that is the highest property of Jannah. And Jibreel said, only one person will get there. That is the highest place in Jannah, and it's exclusive for one person. They didn't say who. And so the Nabi says, I hope it would be for me. And that is why you make dua after the adhan. Ati Muhammad al-wasilata wal-fadila. That place is called wasila wal-fadila. Let it be for Muhammad, Nabi Sallam. He says, I can't get there on my own. I need my ummah to make dua for me as well. And in exchange, we'll talk about this. You get the shifa on the day of Qiyamah with the Nabi Sallam. So that is the highest property of Jannah. And so, subhanAllah, these events are not the punishments of Jahannam that we saw. These were the punishments of the Qabr. Jahannam is, may Allah protect, even worse. Amongst the other punishments, the Nabi says, anyone who stole something, then that thing would be put on you, on that person, in the form of, like, mentions a man who stole, and look, he fought jihad, subhanAllah, he's a mujahid. And he stole some garment in the jihad. And as a punishment, he will be made to wear that thing in the qabr, and it is burning. It will be burning on him. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he came, a very famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayhi, very, very authentic hadith. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking with the Sahaba, and then he stopped at two graves. And he said that these people here are being punished, these are Muslims, being punished in their graves over something which we take as trivial. As for the one, when he would urinate, he would not make an effort to make sure he doesn't splash on his clothes or around him. And subhanAllah, look at the state of our toilets. Right, the toilet of the masjid even, subhanAllah, they would leave it in a state. And so because of that, in fact, the hadith says, the people who are punished the most in the grave, and this may be the Muslims, is because on not good toilet etiquette. Good toilet etiquette, subhanAllah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, we know his habit was to sit and urinate. And a non-Muslim saw him sitting and urinating and made fun. He said, this is how the ladies sit. He said, no, this is how we should sit. So you don't splash the urine on you, because this is a punishable offense in the day in the qabr. And the other one, he used to gossip and spread gossip around, and he's being punished in his qabr. And so the Nabi Sallam made dua for them, and it was made easy for them. Another, subhanAllah, one that perhaps we are all must be mindful of, the Nabi Sallam performed janazah. So some people, he performed janazah salah on a sahabi, and then he said to the family members of this man, your brother is being detained. He's sort of held. He is not getting to where he wants to be. Why? Because he has outstanding debts. He didn't pay back the money that he owes somebody. And so the brother quickly paid the money and said, he's been relieved. Allah has made it easy for him. Some people, the Nabi Sallam, would not even perform janazah salah until their debts are being paid. And subhanAllah, perhaps out of mercy for them, the Nabi Sallam said, until we pay this man's debt, we're not going to bury him. Because what waits in the qabr is going to be severe. So let's get the debt sorted before we bury him, subhanAllah. And so these are of the punishments of the qabr that we all should be mindful of. But to end off once again, and I mentioned something, but the rewards of the qabr, as we said, for those, and it was mentioned in the last ayah of the Taraweeh, Hafidh Wafiq mentioned that when the person dies, Allah says, don't feel sad for them, that they are being taken care of by Allah, and they are happy where they are in the barzakh, and they are actually, like, not feeling bad, but they are looking forward to their family. Come on this side, we want you to come here. Mustabishirin, they are happy at what Allah has given them in the barzakh. And subhanAllah, the barzakh, inshallah, can be the first stage of the reward, the beginning, the appetizer, until we get to Jannatul Firdaus. As we know, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I said that hadith yesterday, that when the person passes the questioning of the grave, and he's so ecstatic that he passed the exam. Now, you know, when you pass the exam, you got your, can you imagine when you get your degree, your PhD, how you want to tell your family? So he passed the questioning of Munkar and Nakir. And he gets the good news, his name is in the register of Jannah. And he says, I want to go tell my, just let me tell my family, I'm okay, I made it. And they said, no, go sleep. The sleeping of a bridegroom. That you will wake up to your beloved. Meaning, on the day of Qiyamah, your beloved is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful, beautiful mention. And that, subhanAllah, as we say, that it is narrated and it is authentic, that in Sahih Muslim, that the people will visit their loved ones that have passed away. So if anybody has a loved one, a parent or a grandparent, and inshallah they are all in Jannah, or they are all in the barzakh in mercy, you'll get to see them, you'll get to interact with them. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, make sure you do the kafan well, the tukamanis. Make sure you do the kafan well, because they're going to visit their family members in the kafan. They're going to wear this when they go visit their family members. And so make a good job when you ghusl them and you kafan them. So what a beautiful thing that you'll get to see those long lost loved ones in the barzakh. And may Allah grant all of us, our kubur, to be gardens of Jannah. May it be the beginning stages of contentment. May it be, subhanAllah, a place of relaxation and enjoyment. Ameen. A few questions. Do the souls travel around us? There is this misconception. No, the souls do not travel. Definitely those who are being punished or detained, they are not. In fact, even the souls in the barzakh don't know about the souls who are being punished. So in that hadith I mentioned, when the man dies and his family members jump on him and hug him and says, you made it, welcome, you survived, then, you know, after he meets all the relatives, he says, where's Buddha so-and-so? He said, is Buddha so-and-so not with, is he not still alive? He said, no, Buddha so-and-so died long ago. So then the relatives say, he's not with us here. Meaning he died, but he's not with us, souls being rewarded. He's in the other place. So even those that are being punished are not, they do not interact with the other dead souls, let alone the living souls. Can the dead hear us? And subhanAllah, this is one of the theological differences the Sahaba had. The Sahaba disagreed whether the souls can hear and not hear. Aisha radiallahu anha, very prominent, very unequivocally said, impossible. You can go to the qabr, no one will hear you. They are in a different world and we're in a different world. The two worlds do not inter, you know, you cannot communicate with them and they cannot hear. Other sahaba have mentioned that yes, when you go to the qabr and you greet them, they actually are aware of your greeting, they are aware of your dua, but you can't stand here and say, daddy, the storm is won, and you know, he wouldn't, those kind of things would not, is not possible. And it's important to mention that, because some people, why we say this and why is it becomes a problem? Because some people will sit and make dua, oh Tuwang Guru, oh Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, and Abdul Qadir Jilani is buried all the way in Iraq, and say that my dua reaches him. No, this is not part of, no companion or scholar ever said this. And even if they can hear you, it doesn't mean that automatically Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimullah, who only spoke Arabic, now understands Afrikaans and English and all of that. How did he get all the knowledge? And so these things should not be taken to extremes. Although it is very, very commonly narrated by great scholars that some souls are allowed to interact with you in your dream. And dreams are a totally different discussion. But a dream which comes from Allah, or a dream that is from, that you meet a soul, your soul meets a soul, it won't be like, if it's like something that you're not sure, you forget it in the morning, then that's your imagination. But if it's a dream that when you wake up, it's like a memory. You know the details, it's, you know, crystal clear, like a memory. Then inshallah, this is you either getting ilham from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very rare, or it is actually a soul that engaged, and it's possible that even a disbelieving soul is sent to convey a message, and that is subhanAllah something special from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We end off with, how do we protect ourselves? As we said, the easiest and the best way is Surah Mulk. It is the defender against the adab of the qabr. This is its job. The Nabi says there's a surah that it will stand with you on the day of in your qabr, and it will stand blocking the adab that is coming against a person. And the Nabi Sallam, there's a number of du'as, and so if you get the PDF, inshallah, you can memorize some of them. Every single salah, the Nabi Sallam was like, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمِ. Oh Allah, protect me from the عذاب القبر. Protect me from the punishment of the قبر وعذاب جهنم, and the punishment of the جهنم, and from debt and from laziness. The Nabi Sallam would make dua, but every salah, not every day, every salah, five times a day, he would make dua, Ya Allah, protect me from the عذاب of the قبر. Lastly, subhanAllah, last point. Remember, for those in the قبر, some are having a relaxing time, but they can be upgraded. Our relatives, alhamdulillah, we can build on, we can enhance their light, we can enhance their rahmah, we can make it better for them through our du'as and the charity we do on their behalf. A lady, she says, my mother passed away, or man, sahabi, my mother passed away, can I give sadaqah on her behalf? So the Nabi says, yes, you can. She will get it in the qabr. So he said, what sadaqah do you suggest, Nabi Sallam? So he said, water, giving water is the best sadaqah. And the Nabi Sallam, as we said, they will receive our blessings, our du'as, our sadaqah upon them. So we continue to make du'a for them. And for those who are having difficulty in the qabr, may our du'as be a peace for them. May it be a relief for them. May Allah grant all the deceased that their qabrs be a garden of the gardens of Jannah. May Allah fill it with light. May Allah make it wide. May Allah make it spacious. And may Allah grant us a blessed entry into the barzakh. Ameen. Inshallah, with this we conclude the life of the barzakh, and then inshallah we'll begin tomorrow with the events of Qiyamah, the day of judgment. The day of judgment, inshallah. Last night's question. Which of the following is incorrect? There is no janazah salah performed for a stillborn older than 4 months. Why? There is a janazah. So when you are 4 months or more, the soul entered the body, and so that is a person, it's a human being, that person will be in Jannah, and so subhanAllah, that we even perform a janazah. Before that, no janazah, because it's not a soul. Layla Solomons? Yes, okay, Layla, mashallah, you get the prize. And, no. Let's see, where, subhanAllah. Zakaria Adams, not here? Zakaria, are you here? No? You jumped up, because I thought you were... Yeah? Another, Mikhail Adams, no, not here? Muzamil Adams, subhanAllah. We're now running out of people here. Khamim, but Khamim? Okay, he was here, no? Yeah. Okay, inshallah, we'll give it to Khamim. Jazakallah for Khamim. The question this evening... How many verses in Surah Mulk? The Nabi said there's a surah with X amount of ayat. If you recite it, it will protect you from the adab of the qabr. How many ayat is Surah Mulk? Inshallah. May Allah protect. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.